Lesson number 7, The Law of the Lord, number 2. Last week we covered the first 4 commandments. Now we are thinking about commandments that follow. And our introductory thought is one of relationship. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep the commandments. See, the commandments are codified love. They are loving reduced to a law. They are loving reduced to a set of directions. So if we want to love properly, we must follow the directions. And if we don't keep the commandments, then we don't abide in God's love. When we love somebody, their slightest wish is our command. If we love God supremely, then God's slightest wish must be our command. Part number 1, honor to parents. Why? Because parents stand, ideally, in the place of God to mankind. In loco Dei, the father and the mother, or in our earliest years, are all we know about God. And ideally, they should represent God, and ideally, the children should look to their parents and give them honor. However old they are, they still should honor. Now this is the only commandment with promise, the Apostle Paul says. Thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Pearl Buck wrote a book many years ago on China. And in it she made a sage remark that China has been, of all portions of the earth, longer inhabited by the same group of people. And she wondered whether filial piety, the respect of parents and ancestors, wasn't in some way responsible. And she quoted this commandment and said, the Chinese have long dwelt upon the land, their homeland, undisturbed because they honor their father and mother. Part number 2. Respect for life. Thou shalt not kill. Nobody understands what life is. Comes from God. Nobody really understands what happens when it dies. One moment, life, strength, thought. Next moment, death, weakness, oblivion. We cannot give life. We should respect life. Thou shalt not kill. The last note before think it through is an extremely profound sentence. You will notice that it is a sentence. Compound. Complex. It's the spirit of prophecy explication of thou shalt not kill. All acts of injustice that tend to shorten life, governmental, parental, injustice, the spirit of hatred and revenge, the spirit. You hate your brother, if you want to bring him to the court, Sermon on the Mount, Christ enlarged this. The indulgence of any passion that leads to injurious acts towards others. Sex, anger, passions that leads to injurious acts toward others. Or causes us even to wish them harm. A selfish neglect of caring for the needy or suffering. All self-indulgence, smoking, drinking, eating, dressing, self-indulgence on the one hand, unnecessary deprivation on the other hand. So our whole health reform, dress reform, doctrine is an outgrowth of this phrase. Self-indulgence, everything we eat, all our habits, how much we eat, when we eat, or unnecessary deprivation, we don't dress properly, don't clothe the extremities properly, or excessive labor. Many Seventh-day Adventists work too hard. Excessive labor. That tends to injure health. Anything we do or don't do that results in injury to health. All these, to a greater or less degree, are violations of the Sixth Commandment. So our theology of health rests on the Sixth Commandment. Our theology of dressing right rests partly on this and partly on the commandment of modesty that covers the relationship and emphasis of the characteristics that separate the sexes. So the respect for life should be seen in our homes, the ventilation of our homes, the lighting of our homes, the heating and cooling of our homes, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, the cleanliness of our environment, our ecological maintenance. All these items are to a greater or less degree dependent on obedience to the Sixth Commandment, thou shalt not kill. Part number 3, the sacredness of marriage. Thou shalt not adulterate. The word means to mix. It applies to mixing in sex. It also applies in the Levitical law, which are illustrations and applications of the principles of the Ten Commandments, that when we do business, we shouldn't mix in order to deceive. If we are selling wool material, we should not mix it with a cheaper cotton and sell it as wool. If we are selling some kind of grain, don't mix it with other kinds of seed that are less valuable. Don't mix. When we buy a pillow and we see attached to it a label, all new material. The manufacturers don't put that down because they love us, but they put that down because the law tells them they must not adulterate the new material with the old and pretend it's new and get away with it. And of course, it applies to the marriage relationship. And Christ took that and enlarged it when he says, this covers thought. The secret cherishing of impure desires that only wait for an opportunity to be indulged, or that are not indulged through fear or lack of opportunity. And so, thou shalt not commit adultery is just as exceeding broad as thou shalt not kill. Part number 4, thou shalt not steal. That is, appropriate what belongs to another. Affection. Somebody loves somebody else. And we go in and steal and alienate their affection. Their allegiance. They may be teaching in school, they may be teaching in college, they may be a secretary, and we steal away their allegiance. We bribe them, we offer them all kinds of gifts. And we steal. We can steal property, money, camera, fruit that belongs to somebody else. We can steal somebody's reputation by falsifying it. And we can do that by a shrug, by a joke, by an innuendo. We can steal somebody's job. We want them out, we want ourselves in. We can steal the government's taxes. We can falsify. We can steal God's tithes and offerings. We can steal from our employer by not giving 60 minutes work for 60 minutes pay. Thou shalt not steal. This covers many relationships that, when they are fractured, bring disintegration and havoc into society. Part number 5. Thou shalt not bear false witness. False witness. Misrepresentation. Deliberate misrepresentation with the intent of deceiving. Now I stand up in class and I spend hours and hours a year teaching. I do not claim that every phrase that I make represents the truth as it should be represented. I try, I pray, I think, I exercise care and discretion. But I am well aware of the possibility of my making a mistake. This is not lying. If I make statements that I hope will deceive by misrepresenting the truth to win an argument, if I ignore evidences, then I am bearing false witness. And it can be done in theology. I can collect 8 texts and get them together and say, this is what the Bible teaches. But I ignore 3 or 4 or 5 texts that would modify that teaching. Now, if I am unaware of the existence of those texts, then I am not lying. But if I know their existence and I refuse to allow their implications to modify my thought, then I am a liar. Slips honestly made are not lies, but callous ones or careless ones. If I don't take care to check my facts, then I am a liar. And one of the most common methods of lying today is exaggeration. The bending of facts, the modifying of facts, the enlarging of facts for some ego trip we might have, these are forms of lying. But the true Christian speaks the truth in his heart, in his inward parts, in his hidden parts. He's got no mental reservations. Part number 6. Thou shalt not covet. House, wife, servant, ox, anything. Now let's look at this for a moment. I suppose that all of us would like to own a house. We look at our neighbor and he owns a house. And we say to ourselves, one day I will own a house. That is not coveting. If I said, I want that house, then I am coveting. I suppose all of us would like to get married, if we are not already married. We look at a happily married couple and say to ourselves, I would like to have a home like that. That's not covetousness. But if I say to myself, I want that man's wife, I want that woman, then I am coveting. I suppose we think it would be nice to have a servant, or an ox, or certain things. If I want something similar to, and I see the value of in my neighbor, and I am stimulated to serve and to save and work hard to get it, that's not coveting. But when I want the precise thing he has, then I have a problem. And in the inmost part, I must not want what belongs to another. But there is a sense in which I can covet the best gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:31. In which I can covet to preach. The ability to preach that I can't take from anyone else. And so there is a desire a driving desire to possess that is legitimate. But there is a covetousness of specific objects that are out of my reach that are illegitimate.